Gotcha. Things you've tried, I'm the one that can satisfy you.
So here we are.
Here we are, episode 189.
189.
Okay. Flarecast.
Oh yeah, man. Let me tell you, all that Rule 34.
Oh, ponies. Oh. Okay, we're not really going to inundate people with ponies.
What? Don't you want to talk about EC Major's latest thing? His creepily realistic horse vagina renditions?
What's wrong with you? I'm a horse.
Or maybe Attrell's halfway anthro, but halfway not. With the weird stumpy legs.
Ugh, that sounds bizarre. Sounds like they had some kind of accident with a thresher.
Or Doxy.
See, all these people are going over my head. I know.
They're people that do 34.
Oh, wait. Doxy. Oh, Doxy. Right.
Doxy.
Doxy. Okay, yeah. It took a minute to click. Yeah. So I saw a picture today that was pretty hot. Rule 63 shining armor. Pretty hot.
Yeah, I saw that. Molestia is going to molest that.
Oh, yeah. She's going to hit that like the fist of an angry god.
And hey, she is one.
Yes.
So we're totally not here to talk about Pony Rule 34 otherwise. We're here to talk about furries and nonsense and bullshit.
Oh, that's weird. Oh, FA's acting weird on my iPad.
Oh, yeah.
Like if I click the button, it flickers for a second, but it doesn't actually open. If I hold it down and hit open, then
gotta use some extra pressure there.
Well,
shove your finger in.
Well, you have to hold it down until the additional
wiggle it around
menu pops. Yeah, that'll be the next iteration of tablets. Will be the one that you can reach in and molest.
You gotta caress the bits.
And the
they already had that fleshlight holder.
But the Android one will be better because it has that little trackball, so it'll be
you gotta flick the bean.
Reach in and touch my tablet's clit, and, that will get all kinds of shit happening.
Wow, FA is not even loading on my screen.
Speaking of clits, Shiva's not here this week. Which we forgot to mention last week, that her thing with her thing got moved up a week. Serious thing. She's fine, which is good, and she has all kinds of happy drugs. We put out the topic originally. It was going to be Wheel of Fetishes 4. Saverin and I talked to her. Like, we kind of like Shiva to be on that show, since I think she was one of the people that suggested it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that would be better. So this episode is going to be sort of a miscellaneous bullshit episode where we're going to answer. We're going to hold all the topical emails on Wheel of Fetishes 4 until next week when Shiva comes back. So that gives y'all another week to write in with your fetishes, share your own fetishes, ask questions about fetishes, things you don't get, things you like, whatever. Nothing too gross, I don't want like a 10-page email on your scat fetish, but make it interesting. And we're going to read the off-topic email this week.
Of which there were several.
Yeah, we have quite a few, and then we're just going to kind of shoot the shit. Yeah.
But yeah, FA seems really slow right now.
I was commenting online earlier, somebody was saying FA was slow, and I was like, it's really strange that it would be slow this weekend. There are two furry conventions going on this weekend. You would think with that many furries not at home, fapping in front of their computer, that FA's bandwidth would be doing pretty good for the rest of us.
Yeah, you never know. Could be just maybe they're getting a DDoS. I don't know.
I hope not.
It's Friday, 9 o'clock. That's prime furry porn browsing time.
But there's a couple thousand people not at home right now.
Yeah.
So, in case you didn't know, this weekend is both Rocky Mountain FurCon and Indy FurCon. So right now, my mate Tieran and our friend Zia, they're out at Rocky Mountain, and they're selling out there. And I think I think Bucktown is at Indy FurCon. I believe
that's up near him.
Yeah, that's, no, cool. That's a little.
He's not up there anymore.
Yeah.
I thought Bucktown's still in Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not near him.
Oh, okay. But it's more near him than Denver, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So he drove to the closer con, I'm assuming.
Well, plus, you know, he'd have to drive across Texas, so.
Right, yeah. And that's like a day of fucking travel right there.
Day of fucking nothing.
Yeah, yeah. West Texas is
kind of shit.
Yeah, it's even less interesting than East Texas.
East Texas at least has trees.
Mm.
West Texas has desert.
Yeah, yeah, get all dusty mess and all that.
Yeah. Don't go to West Texas, kids. You'll
also
find despair.
Also, the Soap Wolf guys and the Rabbit Valley guys are also all out at RMFC.
So you're up in Denver where the New World Order is. You know, they have their secret base under Denver International. And so you've got the furry version up there, right? The furry New World Order. New Furled Order. I don't know.
God, you kind of went over my head with that. Is that, like, where there's a conspiracy theory around Denver?
Yeah, Denver International. It was built back in the day, and it was built during the Cold War. So it has, like, these underground tunnels and stuff that aren't accessible. They're built to be, like, fallout shelters and shit. Mm. And there's an underground transport system for staff and, like, the refueling system is made to support, like, military operations. It's, like, that high grade or something like that. And there used to be these really weird-ass murals that were painted during the Cold War when everyone was a little bit insane.
Uh-huh.
And so there were these creepy-ass murals.
Of what, the Reds coming in and taking
like,
over?
Stuff like that, and the people of the world standing against gas mask-wearing, trench-coated men with scimitars. And it's this really crazy thing. And people are like, oh, you know, the Masons did it. The Illuminati did it. Oh, it's the secret society.
The Fur Illuminati did it.
And, like, there used to be this big-ass blue statue of a horse with glowing red eyes outside the front. So people were thinking it's, like, some sort of modern-day temple of evil or something.
One of the horses of the apocalypse or
something. Yeah, for real. And it's certainly strange, and they've painted over the murals in the meantime, and, you know, I think the horse statue got removed, but
I can just see them painting over now. Yeah, she was a little crazy back in the day. Ignore this. And
yeah.
Just slap some paint up there.
But it's one of those things that's really popular conspiracy theorists.
Huh. It's interesting, Savern. You have educated me. I did not know that.
Unfortunately, none of the photos that seem to be, sinister sights, the Denver International Airport. Here was the. Oh, that's not helpful at all. I go to show the website, and it's like this blue horse with glowing red eyes, and it's titled Devil Horse. And it has this lovingly rendered anus and sack. It's like, huh. Mustang Rear 1, has a Masonic capstone, and there's the peaceful look at harmony with nature, and the...
You reach inside the sheath for the key to the secret temple or something.
Yeah, and like, children of the world dream of peace. It's like, yeah, the gas mask wearing...
Oh my god.
Yeah, and there's, like, dead people.
And a rainbow. There's a fucking sonic rainboom behind.
But then the rainbow goes over here, and it's a bunch of kids with world peace. And it's like this, and, of course, the dead guy. The guy with the gas mask, dead. After some war.
So, yeah, gas masks will save you from anything except peace.
Yeah, and then, like, peace and harmony with nature. And it's this rainbow flower thing. And then, of course, they're like, oh, but the runways are arranged in a swastika.
Okay. And, well,
that's the really retarded swastika.
Yeah.
There, 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 and there. It's called There's Only So Many Approaches in the Mountains of Denver. But people really attribute a lot of conspiracy stuff to it.
Huh.
And then, like, people are like, oh, there's weird symbols on the floor, and there's weird, you know, paintings, and...
But every airport has weird shit on the floor and weird paintings, and they just throw whatever shit they can find in airports half the time.
And there's comments... This is posted, like, back in 2008 or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Some website called Vigilant Citizen.
Back in 2008, at the height of the Cold War?
Well, this was just, like, going back to it. Because, like, the murals aren't there anymore. Yeah. And there was, like, weird-ass gargoyles. Like, gargoyles sitting in open luggage.
That was how the TSA back in the day indicated that they'd searched your baggage. Your bag was open and there was a fucking gargoyle in it.
Yeah.
And it opened its mouth and it vomited out your belongings.
But yeah, it's just significantly it's conspiracy theorist. It's really kind of funny. But Denver International, ooh.
Huh.
You know, and now we can count on Wolfie Man to be like, yeah, dude, I've been there. Or
I was just going to say that. He'll write in and say, no, man, that shit is true. The Furluminati.
They meet under there with the lizard people and the reverse vampires.
Wait, the reverse vampires? Do they, like, vomit blood into your mouth or something? Like, fill you with blood instead of sucking it out?
Yes. That's how they make fat people. We're not fat because we eat food and don't exercise. It's the reverse vampires.
Because we've been inflated with blood? That's disgusting. Yes. Save that for next week for Wheel of Fetishes.
Oh, man. Oh, we're going to get it now. We're going to know the truth next week.
So what the fuck is a reverse vampire?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think...
Did you just make that up? Or...
No. Oh, okay. It's like a thing.
I thought you pulled it out of your ass.
No, it's one of the things that people toss out there with the tinfoil hats and such as like this ridiculous thing. And I don't know what a reverse vampire would be.
See, a reverse werewolf is easy. It's a wolf that turns into a human every full moon. There's been Peter David wrote a book about that called Howling Mad years ago, but and a couple other people have played with the mythos. So
a reverse vampire. Let's see.
Okay, edumacate me. Oh, Urban Dictionary. That will totally be accurate.
Yep. let's see. There's a terrible like when a girl stands over a person in her period.
Of course it's a sex move. No, the Rusty Venture is a straight maneuver.
A vampire who craves the sun and hates the light, loves to get a tan. I have no idea. Urban Dictionary, you're no help. Okay, here's... All right, this website looks like it was made in 1996, so we can find out what the reverse vampire is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Extremely rare diurnal immortal beings are said to have the same things as nocturnal vampires. Instead, they feed off the blood of plants instead of humans or animals. So they're vegan vampires. That's a shitty power.
That is... You know, people bitch about Twilight. That's the gayest fucking vampire I have ever heard of.
Yeah, so it's like... Reverse vampires appear like an average human, except when angered. They have glowing eyes. Their powers are immortality.
You find them feeding off strength. Your gardenias.
Strengths, sunlight, and chlorophyll. Weaknesses, sun and chlorophyll deprivation. Nighttime.
Wait, how can their strength and their weakness be sun?
No. A lack of sun.
Oh, okay. See, all right.
Sun and chlorophyll deprivation. So... Let's see. Humans must be bitten by a one-of-a-kind mystical vampire plant which drains most of their blood, bringing them to the brink of death in coma-like state, where the supernatural reverse vampire virus begins altering DNA sequences in the body. The virus is transferred via the plant's mucilage, which enters the bloodstream, quickly infecting cells. Hold on.
So, reverse vampires are created by being bitten by a vampire plant.
And drinking the plant. Genetic relations. Vampires. Year and place of origin. 205 BC in ancient Babylon. See, you're making me look this shit up, and I'm just like, really?
We'll cut out the 15 minutes of us sighing and groaning reading about this. Like, oh, really?
People, what the hell? So, and that's, so thanks to Denver International Airport for getting us on this tangent.
So speaking of Rocky Mountain Furcon, that's where we really went. Off the
rails. Hopefully none of the reverse vampires will suck the marrow out of your books.
You know, their theme this year is like all apocalyptic and shit, and Dave Hopkins is one of the GOHs, so reverse vampires would totally be on topic for their con this year. They should have had a panel on it. Man, we should have wrote in. For all of you guys listening at home, if you went to Rocky Mountain FurCon or Indie FurCon this year, right in with con reports, because
let us know if that giant blue horse's lovingly rendered balls and anus filled your dreams.
I was just gonna say I loved me some con reports. So.
Yeah, con reports are great too.
That sounds like a furry outing. Let's go check out the horse nuts.
Yeah. Well, it's like there's this. This statue of stampeding cattle in the stockyards in Fort Worth, and they are quite accurately rendered, up to and including their giant dangly ball sacks.
Yeah, I mean,
on a bronze statue. Well, I mean, there's no reason to remove them. I just always found it kind of funny.
You know, that's the thing is that I think because furries feel like we're under such a microscope when it comes to sex that we notice things like that, and actually ranchers and shit don't really notice shit like that. And like, yeah, it's a statue of a bull. Of course it has balls, because bulls have balls.
Yeah.
There's a, apparently, and I saw a photo of this years ago, but there's, what was the name of Paul Bunyan's ox?
Babe.
Babe?
I think so.
There's like the big blue one. There's a big statue of him with the massive blue balls, and there's like a picture of a guy standing under it, leaning against the big ball sack, and it's like, it's, you know, its belly is like above this average height guy's head. I mean, that's how big this statue is, leaning against this huge ball sack.
Well, because, you know, Paul Bunyan was one of our national heroes. Him and the big blue ox fought the Romans at the Battle of the Bulge.
Isn't there some big long internet crazy thing mingling all that up?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
It's like Paul Bunyan and Davy Crockett fought at the Alamo. Well, Davy Crockett actually did, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you throw like a bunch of extraneous people in there.
Oh, I don't know about that. Yeah, let's see. What else has gone on this week?
Okay, so I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Saffron.
This week, I chipped a tooth the other day, and I had to go to the dentist yesterday. Luckily, it did not hurt. It was actually just a filling that popped out, and the seal isn't quite right on there, and it can pop out, and then they just have to scrape it out and put a new one in there. So I had to take a half day yesterday to go out to my dentist. And this was something I was tweeting. So my dentist is like a 45-minute drive away. But I'm like, I don't care. Once you find a good dentist, you stick with that dentist, you know? He's going to be like an hour drive from the house once we move into the house. And I'll still go to see that dentist. Because, you know, you want someone you trust working on your teeth, you know?
Well, I mean, that was like when I was a kid. My pediatrician was in Arlington, and I lived in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
Because
I
originally lived in Arlington, and he was my pediatrician.
Yep. So you just kept going to the same guy.
Yep.
This is the same dentist that, like,
I don't remember. I think it was Dr. George.
Huh. This is the same dentist that Tieran had as a kid growing up.
Cool.
And he's still in practice, still in the same office, and, you know, even the other surgeon that he refers people to do the wisdom teeth removal, turned out it was the same guy that removed Tieran's wisdom teeth like 20 years ago. And I got mine there out last year, I think. So that was my big thing this week. Ooh, I had a dental appointment. I've had a pretty good week at work, though. It's been pretty productive. And I was saying that tonight at dinner. Today, I had a really productive day. I had a bitch of a headache that went on and off for like 6 hours. But I had a really good day at work. I even got some For Planet emails sent out during my lunch break. And overall, ended up a good week. I've been feeling kind of, we were busy earlier in the week because we had to inventory and Tiernat's inventory and pack up and get him on the way to Rocky Mountain. But so I have the house myself this week. But I've been feeling kind of stressed out and like I need to kind of get away from it all for a little while, you know?
Yeah.
And I sometimes get like that around this time of year, which is why I like Okulcon so much, because it's my time of the year where I do get away from it all. Mm-hmm. And around late third, fourth quarter like this is kind of when that sort of hits me. So I'm thinking tomorrow I'm going to take a day off, and I may just get in my car and just drive and stop somewhere for the night, read a book, stay in a motel or something, and then come home.
Cool.
Just like drive north until I feel like I want to stop.
Drive north till you realize, oh shit, I'm near Kansas. Oh God, almost bad enough I'm in Oklahoma.
Well, I was actually thinking, it actually crossed my mind to go up to Watonga.
Yeah.
Stay in the Watonga Inn or something like that, you know? And, because what the fuck? I like Watonga, you know? Watonga, for those who don't know, is where Okulcon, this is the closest town to Okulcon.
Yeah, it's very small, but it kind of homey-ish.
Yeah, and it's actually one of the bigger towns in that area. There's some tiny-ass hellscapes around Watonga.
Yeah, downtown Watonga is, it's a very economically depressed area, but, I mean, there's still, like, a grocery store and a couple gas stations and a Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
You know, it's still got a couple things.
And
it's
a
got
Sonic and two liquor stores.
Yeah. You know a town's doing great when it can support two liquor stores.
Hey, they have a traffic light.
Yeah, they do. But traffic light.
Yeah, and you know it's one of those small towns, and the locals actually seem somewhat amused by us. You know,
yeah,
like you know, like the lady working at the alcove is like, oh yeah, you guys come up here every year. You know, they're used to us coming up there around that weekend in October, you know, and I'm sure it means it's like 300-400 more people in town. I'm sure it's a little extra business for some of the local restaurants. But so I may do that tomorrow. I may just be like, the other idea that I've kind of floated is just getting on the TRE and riding it a couple of times, because I haven't ridden on the TRE and I enjoy those train trips, you know, and that's not going anywhere particular. You know, I just pay $4 or $5, ride to Fort Worth and back.
Yeah, totally do that.
Sit there, read my Kindle. Should be quiet. It's the weekend.
Get to look out and see the scenery.
What there is of it?
I don't know, because I've never driven it or never ridden it.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Still, might be cool.
Yeah. You know, just something different to do, you know, but...
Well, it's like, if you had, like, the full regional pass, you could, like, take the train... Well, eventually, you'll be able to take the train, like, out to Denton, and then...
Oh, you can do that now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Green Line... Denton built an A line that comes down and connects to the Green Line of DART at the Trinity Mills station.
Oh, I thought that didn't...
No. That wasn't the long-term plan. That was in that opened up, I want to say, early this year, like April, March, something like that.
Huh.
So now people that live in Denton and work in downtown Dallas can take a train to Trinity Mills, get on the Green Line, take that into the city.
Oh, so the trains don't match up. I was going to say...
It's not DART because it's a different county.
Yeah.
So it's just a... Basically, Denton made one train and one line. It goes, there's like four stops in Denton, and then it just goes from Denton to Carrollton, and then you get off there and you get onto a DART train, and then you're in the DART system. You can take that anywhere.
I was going to say, like, you could take the train from Denton to Fort Worth.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would be three different trains, but yeah, you could do it.
Yeah.
Because you would take... Yeah, you'd take the...
You'd take the Denton whatever to
Denton Carrollton. Denton A train to Carrollton, Carrollton to Union Station.
Victory Station.
Victory Station, and then you would take the TRE from Victory to Fort Worth. And now you know. See, we got trains and shit in Dallas, isn't that...
Yeah, compared to most cities, we have a pretty decent public transit system.
You know, it's not the best, but it's definitely a lot better than some places.
Yeah.
Because well, I hear people bitching about it here. They're like... You know, it's not like Chicago. It's not like New York. Well, those are different cities.
Those cities were built with those kind of things from the start.
Yeah, and they're also up north, too. They believe in throwing, like, shitloads of money at public transportation in the more liberal states. You know, it's amazing that we've got what we do in such a conservative area. But, like... Jacksonville, where I used to live, has had like one elevated train that went from nowhere to nowhere, basically. You know, it was like, if we could get this one thing approved, it would be like the test run. And then nobody really used it. It has like three stops from like from a hospital to a central plaza to the downtown campus of the community college. But nobody really used it, you know, and... More lines never got approved. But out here, it's like you can actually get around a little bit. I'm sure the bus system might take you, you know, twice as long as if you were driving. But if you don't have a car, you know, and you still want to have a job, it's definitely a viable way to get around.
On this street, you can take a bus, which goes to the transit center in Addison, which you can take to the Green Line station.
You probably get another bus. There's no train at the Addison Transit Center.
I'm saying that you can take another bus, I meant, to the Green Line.
Right.
And get downtown easy.
Yeah, yeah.
If you didn't have a car, but
Future plan is actually to have trains at the Addison Transit Center, and they're going to have an east-west line. Apparently, there's an old line called the Cotton Belt that used to be for cargo, and the rails are still there. So they're just going to build it up and connect it to the other areas, and it will run along the Cotton Belt and connect north-south across the North Dallas area, which will be nice because we don't really have any north-south running trains right now. They mostly go from a northerly area center into the city and back out.
Well, but, I thought Cotton Belt was like just east-west all the way across.
Yeah, but it doesn't... It's not being used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the train tracks that are, like, right behind us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're actually going to use those for DART in the future.
Sweet.
And add a train station at the transit center and shit like that. So
even better.
Yeah, and that might be 5 or 10 years down the line. But, you know, the fact that they're
doing it. We'll probably be living in this area.
Yeah. Yeah, especially me, because...
You're buying a house.
And everything's looking good so far. We should be closing this month.
Sweet.
The closing date's August 26th.
We just put in our another year lease here at this apartment. So,
well, you know, my realtor says that he suspects that interest rates are going to stay low for quite a while.
Well, here's hoping. We're saving up as much as we can so we can
spend the next year saving up like motherfuckers, and then you might still be able to get a pretty good deal next year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we really wanted to buy now while rates are low, prices are relatively low. I mean, we're getting the house for, like, $30,000 less than it originally listed for. You know, it listed for one price, and then they lowered it. And then we negotiated with them and got it even lower than that, with them throwing in some appliances and, like, $5,000 in closing costs. So,
cool.
We're getting it's an expensive house. You know, and we'll be paying to live there now, but we're getting a really good deal on a shitload of space. So it'll be nice.
Which is what you need.
With For Planet? Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool.
What I really love is that the room we want to put For Planet in is being used as a game room right now. And there's a door at the end of the room. Open the door. Short hallway. Door going into the garage. So
you can...
Load up to the car will be super easy for cars.
I would say, like, if you didn't plan on using that little hallway, you could get some of those just rollers. You know, like they
like a UPS planner. Yeah, so you just
pull it out of the closet, roll that shit down.
Well, the little hallway has like a bathroom that's accessible there, and
I think that would be funny to have. Just have some rollers that you could like store in the garage. Then when it's time to load the cart,
yeah, I mean we could do that. Hey, you think about
drag it in. Is it carpeted in there? Or is it tile or linoleum?
It's the game room is carpeted.
Huh.
But I think the hallway is tiled. It's hard to remember. I've only been in the house like 3 times.
That could work. It's just a silly idea, but it's like that would make loading car even easier.
Yeah, you just flinging boxes down this thing. Just
none of this, one, you know, carrying two guys it all at down the stairs.
Tossing it. Yeah, no stairs to deal with in this place, which will be fantastic.
Yeah, because that's like the scariest part of carrying all those boxes down the stairs. You can't. You know,
it's hard to kind of balance sometimes. And,
yeah, you don't want to like miss a step and do a 360, kill yourself down the stairs.
Yeah,
he died as he lived, covered in pornography.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you might survive the fall, and then a fucking box of hardcovers lands right on the back of your neck, and
death by Black Sad, death by sexy fur hardcovers. What a way to go!
What a way to go!
Well, we've been bantering for 30 minutes, just completely effortlessly. Do you want to hit an email?
We could.
You guess?
I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah, do you want me to go first then?
Go ahead.
All right. Let's see. Oh, I was on FA. Let me pull
up. Emails.
Pull up the email program here. Okay. Well, I'm going to take this is a short one here, because it happened to be at the top of the list at the time, even though it's not at the top of the list. What happened to history? See, this is neat. We can actually clarify this. Dear Notcast, I've been progressively growing through your entire backlog of episodes and saving them all onto my 2-terabyte hard drive. However, when I was done, I thought I had derped and forgotten episode 84. However, when I went to download it, I found it was missing. Dun, dun, dun. It would be right between episodes 85, Still Alive with Bonus Boxes, and 83, Valentine's Win or Fail, in the February 2010 archive, but it's not. Just wondering why, and if you simply derped and skipped a number when naming them, would you record it? Your pangolin from Georgia, Kylie. So, I can explain this, because I actually remember. Episode 84 would have been our Furry Fiesta 2010 live show,
yep.
Which had derped sound and was unusable. So, yeah. And in this particular, normally if we derp an episode, we use that number again. In this particular case, for whatever reason, we didn't make the following week 84. We just skipped over the missing episode.
Yeah, that was just a decision made because we did 84 in front of a live audience. It wasn't even that good of an episode. Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of weird tangents.
Yeah, the original spider tangent and the dude with the his. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
It never fails. Like, every Furry Fiesta live show, even the good ones, there's always one moment of extreme awkward when somebody comes up and just says something that
just freezes the cast for a little bit.
Gives us all this fucking deer in headlights sort of look. And then we're just like, okay, that was a thing. Moving on.
It's like engaging maximum frown.
Wish you guys could see Saffron's face right now. So, yeah, that's what episode 84 doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Sound was... I think that was the one where we had a bad XLR cable. There was, like, 6 people on that show.
And we could only hear, like, 3 of us.
Yeah, and 3 people were on a bad cable. So the only way we were hearing them was over the other people's mics, which were, like, 10 feet away. So
yeah.
It really didn't work out.
Such is life, I'm afraid.
And it's... Doing a live show at a con, sometimes it's very hit or miss, because you never know what's going to... It's not like a lot of this material was pre-prepared in advance. It's not like we're comedians that have a joke that just bombs. But you never know what you're getting into, and then you never know what the equipment's going to do on the road. Sometimes shit is not... you'll forget something in out and about that is normally all hooked up automatically. And so, con live shows, they could be a little hit or miss. Some of them could be really fun, though. I'm looking forward to our next one will be at OklaCon.
Yep.
That's always a good time.
and after we're done, we'll all commit seppuku on the stage. We're going to commit Sudoku? That's mad. That's hard. All right. So I'm going to read an email that is relationship trigonometry. And we're going to keep track of the variable names here. One heck of a story.
Okay.
I was going to read the name, but then he puts a not sort of semi-anonymous. Hello, so, Nutcasters.
Should we get, like, Dr. House's whiteboard to, like, keep track of
We really all this? Should, but at worst, I'm just going to put it into Notepad.
Okay.
And maybe throw it into the show notes. It's like, this is your list of variables for this week. Solve for Q. This is a story, or hello, Nodcasters. I've been a fan of
this is a story
all about how he's been a fan of our podcast since his first boyfriend introduced him to us. I've been wanting to send an email to you for such a long time, and now I finally have something worth reading out loud. A story that has happened to me and a friend just recently, something that I think shouldn't fade quietly into the shadows. Blood for the blood god. First and foremost, for the sake of confidentiality, I shall address the characters in this little tale for their first letter of their respected persona name. While it is possible that the person in question does listen to your show, it makes no difference either way. I can only guess how you might groan at the thought, but this story delves into the master pet concept of furries. And on that final note, good night and big balls. Show ends.
I was just going to say table flip.
No. Here we go. This is a story about a master by the name of Z, his merry band of pets, and the one who was excluded from the group for reasons unknown. I was introduced into the group shortly before he left, and it was assumed that he left by his own choice, and Z never mentioned him after that. Even though I barely knew this guy, who we shall call K, so that's two variables, I reached out my paw to him in friendship, and even though he was leaving, K was mostly sad and went quiet for the longest time. Over time, I became a...
You really need to read this like Gordon Freeman.
Over time, I became a respected pet under Z and was made his beta in charge of keeping an eye on him as well as the fellow pets. It's a bit of a shame how I noticed along with fellow pet by the name of C, I'm adding these as they go along, that our master Z was starting to change from the fun, kind young man into something else, like he was starting to lose his way as a master. Since C knew more about him in real life, he tried to make an effort to help Z get back on the cool master he was before, and I encouraged him to do so. Unfortunately, that plan didn't work, and C decided that he couldn't take any more and left the group. And just like with K, I made an offer to keep being friends with C after all this went down, and doubt started to form in my own mind at how Z was running things.
I don't approve of how you're running this harem.
Still with the uneasiness in my mind, it was a nice surprise when A started to chat with me again. And that's when I learned what had been happening in the shadows, as it were. Apparently, K did leave on his own.
In the dark of the night, creatures were stirring. Oh, sorry, God.
And he was waiting to be invited back into the group. However, when he tried to talk to chat with Z would turn the situation around to where it was like he was annoyed to be bothered by K, claiming that he was being negative and wouldn't have the patience to hear him out. Yes, I know this is typical furry drama, but as his appointed beta, I simply would not stand for how horrible he was treating K and at the same time still claiming him as a pet. It got worse when I realized this was been going on for a long time when all K really wanted was to get back with the group, which Z would constantly deny, causing the poor guy to get depressed and inflicting emotional neglect on him. Needless to say, this was the straw that broke the camel's back. Add camel to the list. Now, this is where the story gets a bit interesting. I decided to talk to Z about how I didn't appreciate how he was treating K and demanded he should apologize to him. He didn't get back with me, but instead turned around and started accusing K for it being his fault and him arguing with his beta. Being at each other's throats, I believe is how I put it, which suggested we were on equal grounds, when in reality I was forcing him to face something he didn't want to see. For the record, Z is a young man in his early 20s, and his behavior in the story proves how much of a pup kid he really is. I decided a night's rest would be good to cool down and collect my thoughts, since I was determined that something was going to be resolved really soon. The following day, I got a hold of Kay and told him my plan of action before texting Z, demanding once more that he apologize to Kay, along with how I was disappointed in him and his behavior of both his beta and friend. 2 hours later, Kay reported that Z reposted what I sent him earlier and simply said, "There. Dot, 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 dot." It's like five dots.
That's like way too many dots. Fucking 50kdkp minus.
As his supposed means of apology. Shortly after that, Z texted me back saying that he successfully apologized to Kay and wanted things to get back to normal. But I caught his live, pitiful apology. His next move was texting Kay, saying how he loved him and wanted to do so much more with him. At this point, I had to help give Kay the resolve to finally end this abusive relationship, and we both left as his pets in a private message to Z. Infuriated with how he had no control over the situation, Z started making all sorts of lies to stay on top of the pitiful... stay on top like the pitiful alpha he is. And that alpha is with quotation marks. Mm. Telling the other pets that he was the one who kicked me out, since apparently Kay never mattered at all, over how he didn't like my mouth and being a traitor choosing somebody else over him. While this was going on, he was texting all sorts of rude, distasteful marks that further proved how immature he truly was. How I'm so heartless to abandon the rest of the pets, and how he'll enjoy his youth since I'm such an old man. I'm 29. The truth of the matter is that he was feeling cornered, since I knew the friends who I made in the group would know the truth, and when it all comes down to it, he lost. You wouldn't believe the ridiculous nonsense that was coming out of his mouth, but I was satisfied knowing that I took Kay out of that situation with me. My final thought is I really hope that Z will come to terms with himself and finally mature into a respectful adult someday. My sincerest apology for the wall text, but I felt this needed to put this story out somewhere other than my heart's contents. Thank you for your time reading this, and continue being a wonderful job with your awesome podcast. From loyal fan S. P.S. I would appreciate if you keep my email anonymous. Thanks again, and take care, heart. So, the list of variables are Z, K, C, and Camel. You know, this is one of those reasons that, like, master pet harems are really cool in theory and stories, but kind of bullshit in real life.
Kinda?
Okay, they're only bullshit.
Okay. Want to be clear.
Well, I mean, there are people out there that are, like, normal and kind of roleplay it and are, you know, physically nearby and make this this thing instead of this online harem nonsense.
Yeah, a fucking, like, 22-year-old with, like, I have 15 online pets and they're all over the world. Yeah. That's bullshit.
Yeah. And as you said, you're like, yeah, it's the eye roll inducing, cringe inducing. Yeah, there's lots of that. And,
you know, and I want to kind of be fair. There are people that are in legit BDSM relationships, and I wouldn't do a master pet thing, but it's whatever works for them. They're not hurting anybody. If it's on equal ground and they agree to that, and the sub still needs to have the power to yay or nay in that situation.
I just think that the whole internet harem thing.
But yeah, it's like a lot on the internet, like people have this idea of what it would be like, you know, especially furries, because they're like, ooh, I'm a fox, he's a wolf, he's my alpha. Oh. By the way, the word alpha, I think, should always be in quotation marks, unless you're talking about an alpha of an actual wolf pack or a mathematical variable or Greek. But anybody who uses the term alpha to describe themselves in the furry aware community just needs to be punched in the throat.
And the balls.
Yeah.
Because they probably deserve it.
Because seriously, if you have that much of an ego, just kill yourself.
Okay, I'm not kill yourself.
Commit Sudoku.
Commit Sudoku.
Sit in a darkened room.
And draw it across your stomach in a 9x9 grid.
Just sit alone with a fucking Sudoku book. And complete it over and over and over so that you don't hurt anybody else. And that will be your punishment. That is committing Sudoku forever. But, yeah, and also the age. the age is a big thing. It's like, if you're in your early 20s, you do not have the emotional or mental maturity to have any degree of control over anybody else's life. Maybe an 8-year-old that you're babysitting for or something, sure. But another adult, especially other adults older than you, and you're going to be their alpha, ugh, give me a fucking break. it sounded like you did a good job of getting other alphabetical letter out of that situation.
Yeah, just go and be your own person.
You know, I'd be interested to have somebody write in with an actual positive, healthy working example of a master pet relationship on next week's episode. I would welcome actually hearing that, because I don't think we have heard that yet. All we hear are the fucking nightmare scenarios with idiots like this with their e-harem.
It's true. So, yeah, if you're in an actual healthy master pet slave relationship type thing that isn't, you know, full of crazy bullshit, please let us know.
Yeah, not say I won't publish shit like that, because I totally will, because, you know...
Well, it's like I said,
that's hot in comics and stories.
In comics and stories, it's cool. In real life, it's disempowering and very lopsided and...
Then the sex gets wibbly wobbly.
And the noodle arms get really weird.
And then you're shipping your OCs.
Oh no, not the OCs.
Okay.
Is he Lord Donut Steel?
Princess Donut Steel. Thank you very much. She's an alicorn. She's more powerful than Celestia and Luna combined.
She can fart the moon.
She's the element of awesome, bitch. Motherfucker.
Read the email.
Speaking of which, that motherfucker line, it's from, I forget who the band is, but it's like, Bitches Love Me is the song.
Bitches Love Me because I know that I can fart.
Yeah, and I was exposed to that song. The first time I heard it was in an AMV of Pokemon, and it's Pikachu singing it. Yeah, it's got that motherfucker great line.
Yes. I should find that.
No, that's.
And I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, yes. If you find that, put it in the show notes. I guess you can look this up while I'm reading this one. Okay, so the next one is follow up. To those that cast knots, this is the Indecisive Horse again. I'll quickly thank you guys for taking the time to give me advice. It was insightful, and it really helped to hear some of the thoughts and opinions I had swimming in my head being said out loud after having listened to my email read through. I see that there was probably some things I could have cut out. I almost feel bad having made Fuzzwolf read all that, but you guys made it entertaining enough. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself, Fuzzwolf! Just kidding. I especially enjoyed the Frankenstein references. I came very close to having Diet Coke shoot out of my nose and onto my bed. Anyway, to quell some anxieties about my situation, yes, I had set things up so that NSF would be paying the bills as well, and he does have a job. I have a very good head between my shoulders and worked it so that any chances of being used in that way would not happen. We're both upstanding firs. In fact, he was even sweet and sensitive enough that he wanted to repay what I had already spent to help him. I, of course, wouldn't have any of that. Although I will keep an eye on him, it's even more likely that the two of us no longer have a chance with each other. While at the mall with him one afternoon, he stopped to look at jewelry cases for a specific item, a wedding band. My heart fell to the floor when he said that, though no wedding bells will be ringing anytime soon, the fact that they've constantly talked about this is bad enough when it comes to my desires. There's even going to be about a 5-day period in the upcoming weeks in which he'll be visiting his boyfriend, and I'll finally be by myself to have a slight mourning period and try to move on. It'll be difficult, but hearing you guys and gal take the time to listen to me and give me advice has given me some clarity, which was something I really needed at the time I wrote that wall of text to you. I'll continue to listen to you guys and gal and hopefully have better, happier things to write about in the future. The indecisive horse. I would reiterate my advice from the previous week that I would get out of this cohabitation arrangement as soon as possible, because I really don't think a 5-day period of relationship mourning is going to do it. And then everything will be fine. You know, you sound a little bit more together in this email than you did in the previous one. So maybe you're kind of accepting things, and that's cool. I still think you'll get over him easier if you're not living with him. But that's just my two cents. But thank you for writing in with the follow-up. Anything, Tavern?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to stick with what we've said. I'm glad you were amused his insufficient funds. But yeah, back to the inbox.
Okay.
Let's see.
Saverin's Tumblr.
Yay! Hey, Notcast. On episode 188, Saverin briefly mentioned that he was browsing around on Tumblr. My dismay, none of this was mentioned along with other cast Twitter handles, etc. As part of the growing community of Tumblr furs, I'd like to extend my hand and welcome. I'd also like to follow you, smiley face. So what's the big secret? Care to share your URL? You're a sneaky silver fan, Fozerius. P.S. If you'd like to follow me instead, I'm Fozerius. Fauxerious. Pronounced Foxerius on there as well. Cheers, smiley face. My Tumblr is not a furry Tumblr and is just mainly used to follow people. I don't post things. I don't really reblog things. I just keep track. I found having a Tumblr was easier than having a bunch of Tumblrs in my blog list. So I can just follow them, and when they update, I can just go look at them. So
yeah, and I did the same way. Like I poked you about it. I'm like, dude, just make a fucking Tumblr
and
account.
I did.
It is so much easier to follow the 8 million Tumblrs that you follow. And
yeah,
so I have a Tumblr account as well.
holy shit!
What?
No, just GCC updated their thing. Episode 25, My Little Dashy Visual Novel or Food of Rarities, Pregnant Milk Dripping Crotch Tits Smeared with Shit and Cum and Strawberry Penis Ice Cream and Nutella. That's the title of the episode.
Yeah, they have some very unique episode titles.
Damn.
Yeah. We should have, like, a just retardedly long episode title sometime.
Well, this one's titled, you know, Fuzz and Saverin Goof Around.
Yeah, but that's not like 15 words, half of them horrifying.
But the thing is, we have to pay attention to like what will display on like iTunes and stuff.
Fuzz and Saverin's.
And we're not going to talk about food or rarities, yeah. Crotch tits.
Except you just did.
Damn.
So I'm on Tumblr too. My Tumblr's really boring because I basically never post to it. I really just made the account so that I could follow other Tumblrs. I did start putting some of my stories on there, but that was really more to do with trying to replace my really, really outdated website. I'm easy to find. I'm just Fuzzwolf on Tumblr. Yes, finally, a service where I got Fuzzwolf. I did not have to get Fuzzwolf 2000 like on Twitter. So, you know, if you want to follow me, great. I don't mind. That's cool. You guys can ask me shit if you want. Like I said, I hardly ever update it, though. You know, I might do more with it in the future. I don't know. I mostly just follow other Tumblrs. And I'm amused. Tumblr amuses me because of the way it works. You follow all these different Tumblrs, and then it just all shows up in one long stream with different people.
It's one of those things that's like, it's one long stream of, this is cute and pony, this is cute and pony, this is pony and porny. Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, wow, they reblogged what?
So, mine is this mix of, I have, like, the non-furry internet internet-y things like texts from dog is really funny. Animals talking in all caps is really funny. That is Rarity's vagina, apparently. Ah, okay.
Doxy.
By Doxy. Cute pony blogs, Doctor Who-related stuff, furry art blogs, and then there's like a couple of like porn blogs I like relating to traps. And then I've got stuff like abandoned porn, which is awesome. It's not porn. I highly recommend it. That's hot. It's just cool pictures of abandoned places. And I sometimes reblog other abandoned tumblers. Because I have a weird fascination with desolate locations, abandoned places, things like that. You know, pictures of railroad tracks that are overgrown, growing off into the distance. What, abandoned porn?
Yeah.
That picture there, that place is in fucking... I looked up where it is. It's in Spain, I think.
Looks cool as shit.
It's an abandoned hotel on the side of a mountain near some kind of waterfall. And it looks like a fucking death trap if you were to walk in it.
That's Church of St. George in Ethiopia. That's not abandoned.
Is it currently habitated?
Yeah, it's an Ethiopian Christian church.
Okay.
It's one of those... Wait a minute.
But, I mean, there's a lot... You know, I was talking to Keo about this the other day, because we were talking about what a shithole Detroit is. And I was like, yeah, that abandoned Tumblr that I followed, like, a third of the pictures are from Detroit. Because everything is fucking abandoned and broken down and all shitted up in, like, Detroit.
Yeah, abandoned church, Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, see, you've been looking at it for, like, 30 seconds and you found the fucking Detroit location. Oh,
I followed that shit, yeah.
Yeah, it's just cool pictures, you know? I like that shit.
For real.
So, yeah, that's Tumblr. That's what I use it
for. Yeah, I mean, Tumblr is great. It's this weird little... It's like micro live journal. And you can just kind of stumble around and find cool shit. And if somebody's cool, you just follow them. And their shit shows up in your stream. And you just have to spend 5 minutes scrolling down until you find the stuff you already looked at.
Yeah.
And there's always new stuff to look at.
There is. Yeah, like, I actually have it on my Start tab in Firefox. So, in the morning, like... When I'm kind of waking up before I go to work, I pull up Firefox, check my live journal, check FA, pull up Tumblr, and I, you know, there's usually like at least a half dozen new posts. You know, sometimes I'll get a laugh from like texts from Dog or shit Siri says or something like that. And sometimes it'll be like, oh, there's a cute traps asshole. And oh, hey, there's cute ponies doing cute things. Yeah.
Cute.
Oh, there's Princess Molestia being creepy.
Molest those ponies, or don't. Either way. So, we're coming up right at an hour here, so we're going to pause, save, and be back in just a second. And we're back. So, as we are wont to do each week, we have an item from AdamandEve.com that we like to throw out there. And since I've been listening to Fat Man on Batman, as of late, listening to Kevin Smith's fantastic Batman-centric podcast... Which, you know, I'm not a huge comic guy, but he is, and he makes it sound really cool. So this week's item, in honor of Kevin Smith, is Batgirl XXX DVD from... Who is this? I don't know. It's got Ron Jeremy in it. Holy shit. So anyway...
That's a big cock.
Yeah, it actually says Ron Jeremy... Oh, he's the Penguin. Fuck. All right, so it's Batgirl XXX, two-disc set... Six scenes, 142 minutes. Barbara Gordon becomes Batgirl. You got Commissioner Gordon fucking his secretary. Batgirl getting fucked by Batman and Robin. Harley Quinn with Ron Jeremy. That doesn't make any sense. But it's porn. Didn't have to. Vicky Vale fucks the Riddler.
Is this also like wheelchair porn?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Because is it Barbara Gordon after she gets like,
no,
her back broken?
No, this is Barbara Girl. Is Barbara Gordon is Batgirl, not Barbara Gordon is Oracle.
Okay, just making sure.
Yes, there is a difference. Holy shit, Ron Jeremy's face.
Oh my god, they've given him the Penguin nose.
Yeah,
thing
and see,
in the top
I'm
going
to just include this link in the show notes because you really have to see this. And it's $27.95. It's a porn DVD. But use our coupon code NOT. That's
KNOT.
KNOT.
At Adam and Eve, and you'll get half off. Get 3 free DVDs, mystery gift, free shipping in the continental U.S. And, you know, just check out the link in our show notes for the Batgirl XXX, and then marvel at Ron Jeremy as the Penguin. Holy shit. He's kind of scary.
That is like the fucking face of your nightmares right there.
Yeah.
That should be our show icon for this week. Just an extreme close-up of Ron Jeremy's face.
Okay.
All right. People will be, oh my god, what the fuck happened to
Notcast? What's with their file icon? It doesn't make any sense. Oh, no. Oh god, I didn't mean to do that.
Did you just delete everything forever?
Yep, it's all over. Oh, I meant to get the info. It's... and say it's dimensions. Whatever.
Okay, seriously, you don't have to do this right now.
No, I'm just like making sure I got it roughly square so it fits.
You're all
right.
Multitasking and shit. Like, I can't.
But it's just porn. It's super serial.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, check it out. The money, you know, when you buy shit from them, it helps us out. And it helps us get to cons. So... buy some porn. And,
Ron Jeremy.
Look at... It's a face that only Penguin's mother could love, except she threw Penguin into the sewers.
So, I guess not.
Yeah.
Whose turn is it?
Oh, wow. I made it 269 by 260, so it's pretty much perfect. It's your turn to read an email, Fuzz.
Are you sure?
I think so. Because we just read the thing about the Tumblr.
Yeah, I read that.
Oh, okay, well, whatever. I'm smart.
There's all two of us here. We can totally fight about who started this to read an email.
No, you!
Your mom reads an email.
My mom does read emails.
Oh, well, I guess this discussion is over then.
She doesn't read these emails, though. Thank goodness.
Dear Saffron's mom.
I know you're in your mid-50s, but does it ever shock you, some of the stuff you see on the internet? Yes.
Hello. Please again. Go away.
Hello, this is Wolfie Buffs again. I'm sorry about my last message. I was under a lot of stress and had no one else to turn to. I'm so sorry it was such a mess to read, but a few things I wanted to clear up. All the exes I have had, I know a few good months before dating them, and when I was single again, would ask me out about a month later or so. The stuff with my parents, I have four older brothers, and they're all shitheads and always getting into trouble, so they take up all my parents' time. I could talk to my parents about some things, but it involves dating. They don't really know how to help me, and never really dealt with anything homosexual. But all in all, I will take the advice you gave last time. I just hope I don't sound like a crazy person. From the hopefully not crazy Wolfie Buffs. I need to go look at the email. It's like, was he crazy? I don't know.
The problem is, I seem to suffer like a memento-like memory issue when it comes to this show. Like, if people write in and I'm like, they're following up. I kind of remember this situation. I have no idea what I said.
Yeah, so this is the one where he's like, he's been dating a bunch of people, but it's not working out because people think he's clingy or...
Is this the one that I kind of told to chill the fuck out and stop dating people constantly?
Yeah, I think so, because he was the Utah only gay in the village.
Yeah, you need more than a month between people. I know it seems like a long time, but trust me, it's not.
Yeah. Then you don't sound, you know, that crazy.
No, you just sound like this guy, you know.
You know.
Update.
Yeah, I know.
Update on mail I sent. Another update. Yay! Which I actually quite like updates and additional information sometimes. Hey, Nodders, just wanted to give you guys a heads up on the previous email I sent. I got back home and things have been terrible. Oh. We ended it on the most horrible note it could have been on. I still feel guilty and like shit, but I told him the truth and how I really felt. He didn't take it that well, and I won't repeat the things that were said, but it wasn't pretty. I'm feeling pretty horrible. This was my first and hopefully last breakup ever. I don't want to experience this again. I know it's entirely possible. I'd still like your opinions on the situation. Did I do the right thing? Am I a terrible person for doing it? I know I'll feel better in time. You're not so anonymous anymore, Wolf from Oklahoma, Nashy. Do you recall the specifics?
I'm going to check my email. Because like, we keep all the emails. That you're not just like throwing them away, deleting everything. Nashy.
Well, it wouldn't have been under Nashy. It would have been under the header and the thing, which I do remember the header.
Okay, so this one. Oh, wow. This was the Omega wall of text. Where we were like, dude, just dump the motherfucker already.
Oh, was this the one where, like, I didn't even finish reading?
Yeah, this is the literally four-page long wall of text. You're like, holy balls, dude. It was me. I was the asshole on that one. Uh-huh. That was like, dude, just, no.
Well, I agreed with you, and I was wondering myself how much longer I was going to read, and then I was about at that point, and apparently you got there a little bit before I did, and we're just like, for fuck's sake! Ah! But, no, I think you... The way we reacted, all three of us reacted last week, I think we're going to tell you that you did the right thing, and that you're not a terrible person, because that guy sounded like a piece of shit. And, you know, yeah, I... Yeah, the first breakup really sucks. You know, it's the first time you kind of put your heart out there for somebody, and you might end up getting it all stabbed and trampled on and stuff like that. But, you know, with time, that goes away. It's not the end of the world. Try not to get really emotionally invested in someone. Like, not that you did it too quickly, but, like, this sounds like it was, like, a long-distance thing that was never really going to happen anyway. Try to date a little bit closer to home and try to spend some time together in real life before going just completely head over heels for them. And that'll kind of mitigate how much, I don't want you to shut yourself off emotionally completely, although you may be inclined to for a little while after a breakup, but you know, find some sort of happy medium there between completely going head over heels for somebody and being emotionally cold. And you know, it'll kind of try to control how bad the breakup is the next time it happens. And you know, if you're young, it might happen. I'm assuming you're young because this was your first breakup. You know, it might happen, but you know, then again, you might get really lucky the next time. But don't let that discourage you from the notion that you know one day you may find someone that really works very well for you. It'll happen. Just takes time. Saverin finds your plight amusing. He's kind
of a dick. I saw something else.
You shouldn't be browsing the internet. We're doing a podcast.
Yeah. It's the internet, though. It's everywhere. It's in my eyes. It's in my eyes, not the peas.
Bees.
Bees. Oh my god. All right. Not a pulse. Another not a trophies. That's kind of a scary word. Hayes.
I think it's. Yeah.
Zigmeister here.
Is it Natastrophes, maybe? It's supposed maybe. To be? Okay.
First off, a joke just because I'm feeling random. Here's a joke that mostly Brits or Europeans will understand. See, a fox with a typical American accent. There's only country that can turn a cute, fluffy animal into a sexual act. Say, fox with a typical American accent. Fox.
Because you pronounce it fox as opposed to fox?
I guess. I said fox.
Yeah. No.
Because you pronounce it fox. No, no, I don't. Okay. Anyways, so on to something a bit more serious. Post-freaking-con depression. Last time I stayed in bed for 5 days with the worst hangover in all of recorded history. First of all, a little advice. There's such a thing as partying too hard. Believe me, my liver is probably filing for a divorce right about now. I won't go into details, but I pity the ones who had to pick up all of our bottles that we had neatly stacked along the wall. But seriously, people, be careful with alcohol. It will fuck you up. So my question is, how to alleviate this dreaded condition? I'm lucky to live in a place with not too much drama, where the fandom is really close-knit, and we hung out when we get the chance. I did a panel at AnimeCon recently, and people generally loved us. So we don't have the same degree of persecution as in the U.S. What? We don't get persecuted? Furry anime fan, Trekkie LARPer, what's the difference, really?
People get persecuted on the internet, but it doesn't...
Yeah, it doesn't really translate into real life. Because most of the shit... talkers and on the internet are real pussies when it comes to the real world.
Yeah, they don't have real balls to back up their internet balls.
Yeah, their internet balls are tiny. Or wait, they're real world balls. Haha, no, you are the shitty. No.
Yeah.
No, you are the ball lickers.
Welcome to the Knopcast episode, whatever. You are the ball lickers.
Let's see. Follow-up question. Is it really hard being a furry in the U.S. as people portray? Because here nobody gives a fuck. No, it's not hard to be a furry, for fuck's sake.
What are you kidding? Yeah, it totally is, Saverin. I mean, I'm only here because I was smuggled here by the furry underground.
Yeah, you had to dodge the patrols.
I was enslaved by Pokemon fans.
At least you didn't go to the Sonic slavers. Or the Trekkie torturers. My God. No. I think people on the internet making persecution in the real world. I mean, yeah, if you're in high school and people are like, oh, this guy's a furry. You're going to catch shit because you're not the everyman boring shit pile that's your average high schooler. But... it's not really a thing.
I mean, it depends how you treat it and how out there you go. But, you know, we may have made this analogy before, but if somebody shows up in a Starfleet uniform or a full Ren Faire regalia to a restaurant, they're going to get as many odd looks as someone that shows up with ears and a tail or something, you know?
Yeah, it's...
There was an article about this... somebody was talking about this sometime, I don't remember when, but how fandoms are looked upon as a little odd in the U.S., you know, like it's okay to be really over the top about something mainstream like sports or a TV show or something like that, but like certain fandoms, especially sci-fi,
yeah,
you know, it's like...
well, it's like LARPers.
Yeah. You know. They're like lifestylers of the Renaissance community.
Hell, I mean,
community.
I'm pretty sure that if you're like into reenactments of shit,
like
Civil War reenactments, yeah, that's a very kind of rednecky kind of thing to do, especially in the South. But even then, I bet they get joked at, like, hey, look at him, he's dressing up like one of them darn Yankees instead of watching NASCAR all weekend. Yeehaw! They shoot off their guns and blast a raccoon and...
pew, pew, motherfucker. Then they make a hat out of it.
Make a hat out of it while after eating the meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, coon meat so succulent.
Not as good as squirrel, though.
Squirrel.
Tastes like chicken. Actually does.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh. That's very interesting.
Yeah, when I was a kid, had an aunt, lived down off Lake Livingston in Texas. Made really good chicken dumplings.
No, I'm just thinking... why? Just crazy. Sorry, I don't want my ass running.
She made really good chicken and dumplings. Only much later in life did I found that it was, in fact, squirrel and dumplings.
Oh, okay. But it fooled you at the time, I guess.
Tastes good enough.
Hey, it's animal. It's a meat.
It's herbivore meat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the good shit.
Yeah, I guess.
All natural raised, you know, free range.
You know, I like animals quite a lot. They're made of meat.
Yeah. There's I love that ad for that steakhouse. You know, at such and such place, there's room for all of God's creatures right next to the mashed potatoes. Yes. And it just has a plate there with the food on it. I don't remember what restaurant it is.
It was some steakhouse, but I'm sure plenty of other people have used it.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
But yeah, to be in a fur in the U.S., it's weird. It's outsidery, but it's still not that far out there. I mean,
you know, frankly, it's kind of awesome being a furry in the U.S. because other countries are starting to get furry cons now. But like we said earlier in the episode, there are two furry cons going on in this same country, the same weekend right now.
Yep.
You know, how many furry cons do we have in the U.S.? In a year.
15 at least.
I'm like, I don't know, but it's a fucking lot. Yeah. And then there's all the large communities that have
looks like
the larger meetups.
In California? Isn't there
Califord for the confusion?
I thought there was one other one.
No, I mean, there's
okay, so there's two in California, one in Washington, yeah. One in Colorado, one starting up in Utah.
Idaho
had
so
one.
So that's like every state in that area right there.
Then you've got us, obviously.
Yeah.
In Texas, we've got
Oklahoma.
Yeah, definitely you got Oklahoma. You got Tennessee. You got
Mississippi.
RMFC.
No, MFM is in Mississippi.
Oh, that's right.
FanCon is in Tennessee.
Oh, that's right.
So Tennessee is getting a furry con. And RCFM is in Alabama. Uh-huh. And Megaplex is in Florida. FWA is in Georgia. The Carolinas are trying to start one, and they don't have one yet. So, like, that's that whole southeast section. Every state there has a con.
Ohio has one.
Ohio has two.
Two furry cons?
They have Morphicon that's running for several years, but then there's another one, I think it's starting this year.
Yeah. Indy FurCon in Indianapolis, right?
Yeah.
And you got MFF in Idaho. Illinois,
yeah.
Furry Connection North in
Michigan. Yes.
Obviously Anthrocon.
Yep. That's Pennsylvania.
Then you have
the Maryland Furs are working on one for Maryland. Fur Fright is in Connecticut.
And you have FA United, which is in Jersey.
FA United is in Jersey, and Frozen Oasis are doing End of the World Con in New York.
Shit, that's a lot of fur cons.
And that's just off. You realize that's just off the top of our head.
Yeah.
There's probably cons that we're forgetting about.
Or smaller ones that don't quite qualify as cons but are local meetups.
There's other ones. Yeah, like I was going to say.
Yeah, there's like the Elliott stuff.
There's the other meetups that are pretty big meetups and gatherings that people know about, but they're not actually cons. Because there's the Western Pennsylvania Furry Weekend. I'm not sure if that's considered a con or not. I think it kind of is.
It's a big meetup.
Before it got shut down, I'd say the Furbacue. Would qualify for that.
I think like the Northern Virginia Furs, the Nova Furs, I think they had something going on.
Okay.
But they had enough to have a T-shirt.
Okay. And then the Elliots is twice a year. There's also Furloween, which is the big furry
I'm sure
Halloween
there's
party.
Vegas Furs. I mean, well, Rabbit Valley's out there. I'm sure if there was a large scene over there in Vegas, they'd be right up in there.
Yeah, there's that furry New Year party. I think that's in the Pennsylvania-ish area too.
Wasn't there, like, one that was trying to start up in, like, Arizona, but then everyone realized that a fursuiter would just spontaneously combust? And if the fursuiter was brown, they'd get arrested?
Yeah, that was Zony Con. It was a con there 10, 15 years ago that ran for a couple years, I want to say. And then they were trying to start it up again, and it kind of fell through. And then there was... I think somebody was trying to do something in New Mexico as well.
Yeah.
And that fell through. And someone was trying to do something in Louisiana, and that fell through.
Well, like, also there was Antheria that was in California for, like, 1 year.
That's what you're thinking of. That's the third
one.
Yeah,
the third one. And then there was the other one, like, All for Fun or whatever, that was in, like, Spokane, Washington.
That's right. Yeah, because Washington used to have two. Yeah. And Antheria, I think, ran for 3 years.
Yeah.
And before that, there was like Conifer
or whatever.
In Conifer.
Yeah, there's obviously lots of cons that have passed, but there's still, nowadays, there's like almost one estate.
Almost, yeah. You know,
yeah, if you're in...
North Dakota.
If you're in North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Nebraska, Kansas, kind of fucked.
Isn't Kansas trying to start one?
I can see Lawrence having a sufficiently large amount of young people.
Yeah, or is it Kentucky? It's Kansas or Kentucky that's trying to start one, I think.
So alike.
Well, it's one of the K states, and they're kind of in the middle of the country. And
yeah, I don't know.
That's right, I have been to Kansas. I was trying to think, have I been to Kansas? I was like, yes, last year when I drove to RMFC, we went up, hit Kansas, and went over.
All the way up to Kansas?
Yeah, you go right through Oklahoma, and then if you're taking the interstates all the way.
You took 40 through Oklahoma.
You take 35 all the way up through Oklahoma to somewhere in Kansas, and then you take an east-west interstate that goes through Kansas into Colorado.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple of different ways that you can do it. The other one is to go sort of northwesterly through
Texas.
Yeah,
you're right. It is up into Kansas at Salina.
Yeah.
And I thought it was 40 across. What, man, it's 70 across.
I tell you what, man. That 70 across, it's a faster route than the other way because it's on the interstate and you can go like 70, 80 miles per hour. But, oh my God, it feels so long. It is the second most boring fucking drive ever.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I mean, to get there otherwise, you had to go 199 to Amarillo to Albuquerque, then straight north from there on 25 to Denver. Yeah. And that's probably a little more interesting because it's all mountains and shit. But yeah, still, it's a lot
because
further.
Because I looked at the thing and I was like, okay, the distance-wise, they're very close, but I figured the up through Kansas and over route would be faster because it was all interstate.
That's 199.
But it was just, it was, oh, God, just flat as a pancake, fucking
well, like, the
nothing.
Thing is, it's like if you take, it's 287, actually, not okay. 199, but a 287 to Wichita Falls all the way up to Amarillo is a fucking flat hellscape, too, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And then Amarillo to Albuquerque is not the prettiest.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine once you get up there, take 25 going up, it's pretty nice. It's
well, it's like when I was driving to FC a few years ago, man. As soon as you get out of Texas and you hit New Mexico, it's fucking beautiful.
Oh, yeah, man. When I was driving from Vegas to Fort Worth, essentially, you know, going through Flagstaff and Albuquerque and all that. That was pretty, because it was high mountains, and there was trees and shit.
There's all that color out there, too.
Yeah, definitely.
I know. I don't just mean from the people the Arizonians are running out. I mean, the landscape itself.
Yeah, yeah. For reals.
For Rizzle. I think there's, like, another little bit on this email.
And if you're spending hours in InDesign converting ebooks, get Calibre. It can take a PDF and convert it with all images and everything in a few minutes. Love the show. Cheers, Ziggy.
Okay, so we're going to go like 3 for 3 for you here and disagree with you all the way across the board.
Sorry, yes.
InDesign, Amazon made a plugin for InDesign to output into Kindle format. And actually, it makes it pretty easy. And they updated it recently, and that caused me a little bit of bugs once I figured it out what they changed on it. It actually is quite fully featured, and I'm able to make fairly flawless ebooks very quickly. If you just grab, I'm sorry, but there's convert it to throw it onto a Kindle to read for yourself, and then there is converting it to make a production quality file that you're going to sell to people. Calibre, I just called it, heard it pronounced Calibre, but whatever, is fine if you're just going to rip something and format and change the format and stick it on your Kindle. But it has all these, you know, it fucks up the table of contents quite frequently. It has weird little glitches and bugs. Some layout shit just does not work properly, you know. I will use that, and I'll use Mobi Pocket Creator for when I want to, when someone sends me a Word doc or an RTF file, and I just want to make a quick and dirty Kindle format that I could throw on my Kindle to edit from, I will use that. But when I'm actually doing the, making the book that I'm going to sell on the Amazon Kindle store. Then I use InDesign, and I can basically I have a lot finer control over making it look the way I want it to look. You know, and nothing's perfect. Sometimes you still have to tweak things here and there, but you know that it works pretty damn well. You know, if you have a CS4 or higher, it'll work for you. So that's my recommendation for people wanting to make Kindle books. I mean, that's kind of if you're a publisher, because CS4 is kind of an expensive program if you're not. So, you know, that and in Word, people use Word. Word's actually kind of preferable in a lot of ways for Kindle, because Kindle is basically supported by HTML. So anything you can do in Word and then save it in HTML, that makes a pretty good Kindle file too. So, but there's just certain tweaks and things that I like to do, especially with things like table of contents and images, to try and improve the quality of it. And I've been working on that. So I added it up recently because we've been doing a lot of these lately. We have 18 titles on the Kindle already.
Nice.
So I was like, I was surprised myself, like I hadn't added it up in a while, and then realized, wow, we actually have a lot of these. But yeah, if you want to buy one of our books on the Kindle, get on the Kindle store, search for Planet Productions, and search for Bad Dog Books, and because I have books up under both imprints now, so. Throwing Sweet. That out there, yeah, they're doing pretty well, so that's nice. Glad we got that going there.
Yeah.
So,
that's about it for the emails.
Yeah. Are we doing anything next week as far as anything special coming up?
Oh, I don't know. See, that's the thing. I'm gonna be out of town next weekend, so I'm leaving on Thursday. I'm not gonna be on this episode.
Oh, shit.
It'll be you and Shiva, because we don't want to miss an episode getting on to episode 200 at OklaCon.
Right.
So we're going to have to do some, like, improvisation here. Like, while we're down in Austin, you and I are going to have to record a, hey, guys, what's up?
God, that's right. So we'll be in Austin.
Check out this awesome porn we found. It's totally furry.
Yeah, that's like the weekend of, what, September 8th and that's 9th, I think?
September, yeah.
I wonder why it's not on this calendar. I thought
yeah,
I had
September
it on
8th and 9th, and then OklaCon is in October, so we cannot miss OklaCon the 19th.
And the problem is, Thursday, October 4th, I'll be flying to Minneapolis to go to Galaxicon. And
well, then, like, the 22nd of September is Rainforest.
27th of September.
That's like September it's like the 31st of August is Anime Fest. But I'm obviously not going to be like, oh shit, guys, I'm going to be down at this con. That's a total casual, relaxed event for me.
No, but I'll be leaving Thursday evening to go to Mephit Fermi, and so will Shiva. I don't think we're going to we both have too many cons between now and OklaCon.
Like, okay, I've got one con next weekend in Seattle, then I've got Anime Fest end of the month, which is just sort of a relaxed thing, but I'm still getting roped into doing some stuff.
Yeah, and then I'm at Mephit that weekend.
And then the weekend after that, we're in Austin.
Uh-huh.
And then the weekend of the 14th and the 15th, we don't have anything going, I don't think. But then the 21st, 22nd, 23rd are Rainforest.
No, Rainforest is the 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th.
Really?
Yeah. Rainforest this year is the last weekend in September. Believe me, I remember this because the very next weekend is Galaxicon.
That's the same weekend as Candlelight Gardens.
Yep.
My calendar's wrong. Oh, God. So I guess it's a good thing I didn't plan to go to Rainforest.
Yeah, because now it clashes with a con that you're a guest at. So.
Yeah. And then the 5th is... Don't have anything, I don't think.
Galaxicon.
Fuck. The 12th? Well, the 13th is Pony Ren Fest. So I'm going to be down in TRF that weekend, but only on the weekend. So
we're okay for recording that Friday the 12th,
I think.
And then the 19th is OkulaCon.
So it's like, hey, we're going to totally hit it out and go to 200. And
it turns out that, like, yeah, and oh, you know what? The weekends in September where I don't have something written down, I'll probably be moving into my new house.
Oh, no.
This is the next few months are going to be very busy.
Yeah,
August and September in particular. October kind of calms down.
I mean, we're still
going
to be doing shows. But
oh, totally.
We're some of those. Huh? We're going to have to figure out how to fit them in.
We're going to have a couple of Wibbly shows where one person isn't there and somebody else is, and kind of starting now because
yeah,
Shiva's not here this week.
Shiva had a good reason to not be here,
right?
But
yeah. Wibbly couple of months wobbly. For not guests. We'll have to call in some guests or maybe do more two-handers like this. Yeah.
Yes, we don't have the extra limbs flailing around.
You know, for the weekend that we're at in Austin at the Brony Fan Fair, depending on who's riding with us, I was like, we could record something in the car and then upload it to the server and have Panther render it here or something.
Yeah. I bet we could find somebody.
But if we're riding down there with Fetch, though, we don't want to, like, horrify him with, you know.
What are we going to horrify him with? They're just going to be talking.
No, if we start talking about, like, you know, Rarity's crotch tits or something like that. You know.
Her pert little crotch tits.
No.
You don't want to do the little hand thingy?
Do not make pony teat motions with your hands at me.
I don't want to.
That could go on the wheel of fetishes, you know, for
milky teats.
For animals that in real life have teats by their back legs, and some furries like them that anatomically correct that instead of big human style boobs, they have teats around their crotch. I'm like, doesn't do it for me. It's not anthro enough, I guess.
I'm just imagining. There's this one pic. It's a pony thing, where it's Lyra, the character in the fanon, is human-y. She believes humans. It's this weird shared fanon among most of the community there. And then somebody drew. It's like she draws a human, but the big human tits are down near the crotch. It's like, I know it's not anatomically correct. It just looks better to me.
God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they've had this joke in the furry community before, too. You know, they have the skinnies that are going to ManthroCon. So it's like an anthro fox, but he's wearing a human mask.
That's like the people that complain about, you know, canine cocks on, you know, why doesn't that translate to the females and stuff like that.
I'm not a trained expert on dog vagina. What is different about dog vagina?
Just the exterior shape is different.
Is it? Okay.
So I've seen a drawing where someone was like, if you want this, you also want this. And it's like this Anthro-German shepherd with like eight tits and...
You know, it's one of those things that varies from person to person because it's like some people that are into scalies that are like, if you're going to do it really correct, then, like, they have no external balls and everything's inside. And
they have a cloaca.
Cloaca. But, you know, but then, I mean, I've seen the other scalies that have, like, huge scale-covered nuts. And it's like, you know, that looks more normal, quote-unquote, to me, I guess, because it looks more human-like. But some people are into it. Different degrees of anthro, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? It's interesting, yeah.
Help me, Pahil. Tell me where I can find this picture.
Wait, what site's this you're asking?
Rule34.pahil.net.
God.
Can you imagine what's there?
Could be Rule 34?
Yep.
Okay, no,
I can't find it.
No dead air while you surf to add the link later.
I was like, hey, cool, somebody sent me money. Except it's for something I already did today. Awesome.
Hey, it means you got paid. You got paid and laid.
Yep.
Or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he just... I was cool and found an item that was sold out in someone else's region and mailed it to him the day I purchased it. So, I'm awesome.
You're all over that shit.
Yep. Plus, it's one of those, hey, I know that people really want this, and it's not available at their store.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Send that pony vagina all over the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess we'll have fetishes next week, although you won't be here. Then again, you don't really have any fetishes.
Yeah, I'm pretty vanilla.
You've kind of established that before. Shiva and I probably talk about some shit, though. You know, between her weird L-shapedness and such.
Wow, I can't find anything.
So what do you find hot? You know, just give us a preview of Wheel of Fetishes. Not really a fetish, necessarily.
What I really like... Mm. I like fit chicks. I like thick chicks. I like traps. Flat-chested, it's cool.
Flat as a board, easier to nail. Carpenter's dream.
Stuff like that. I like decent-sized cocks. You know. Everybody's got a butt, so that's great.
Yeah. So one of our emails about the fetishes was basically androgyny is hot, which is kind of my position. You know, about mannish girls, boyish girls, you know. So I'm kind of feeling that there, too. You know, you have a similar interest there.
Yeah. How did...
Lyra?
Yeah, it's like, how did she not... Okay, Google.
Goggle. You're failing me.
I know.
Live Googling on air, kids.
I know,
this
right?
Is
this
so
is
interesting.
Amazing.
Ugh.
Well, I'm trying to find this horrible thing.
Oh, God, find it after we're done.
No, God.
We should wrap it up anyway. Write in next week with your fetishes and your RMFC and IFC con reports. I'm just going to, while you do that, I'm going to run down the contact information.
All right.
We are Notcast on Twitter for Affinity and LiveJournal. Our email and notcast.com or foxstuffers.com. Our email address is notcast@foxstuffers.com. We usually record about 8 p.m. Central Time on a Friday, sometimes a Thursday. Keep an eye on our Twitter. If we're going to change up, we usually, one of us will throw it out there that we're doing that. We have an IRC channel, which apparently people still use. It's
yes, there are people. They occasionally talk. There's like a dozen people or so.
Cool.
I mean, you know, we're...
Yay! It's irc.anthrochat.net /notcast. Go and shop at furplanet.com. That's my store, and helps us out. Help me sell all the things. The more things I sell now, the less I will have to box up and move next month. When we hopefully move into our new house in a month or two. So, Savern, anything else you want to throw in there? Or just...
I think I'm good to go. I need to find this image because it's going to drive me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that it'll be appreciated if I find it and link it. But on that note, I think we're good for tonight.
Okay, good night.
And big balls.